Are you ready for word tonight?
Yeah.
1 Timothy. Chapter 4. Say praise the Lord when you're there. No, I said to say praise the Lord when you're there. Can you follow simple instructions? Praise you, Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll let everybody get there. This is Paul writing. In fact, he's writing to Timothy, his spiritual son. In fact, we use the term many times for those that are being mentored within the church. We call them Timothys, based on the relationship that Paul and Timothy had. Paul knew Timothy since he was a teenager, watched him grow up and move into the ministry. And now Paul's growing close to his time being done. He's giving Timothy some pastoral instruction. Amen. What he's telling Timothy is good for all of us. Now I'm going to start reading what he's talking about in verse number 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy prophecy may appear unto all. I was reading this actually this morning or last night. It would have been the middle of the night. And I got to verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. And when I read the word holy, I've never seen it like this before. It took on a different meaning. What would you think that meaning might have been? Something maybe we've been teaching?
All in.
All in. Holy meaning entirely. All in. Now to back up and discuss what we're talking about all in, we know God's coming back for a glorious bride. The whole church is not the bride of Christ, because it says in Revelation 19 that the wife, the bride of the Lamb, has made herself ready. Most of the church is not making themselves ready. We're going through motions, living in tradition, you know, just showing up to church thinking that's going to be good enough to get to heaven, and I hope it is. But I believe God expects more. There's a putting on of the power of God, of the armor of God, of the wisdom of God, walking in the supernatural forces of God, right? That the bride is going to be involved in. And it says she's a glorious bride. Now turn to Isaiah 60. We go here all the time. But that's a good thing, because it's good to keep it before us. You can hold this spot if it's not too late. Isaiah 60. Give me just a second here. I'll try to move this conduct. I think I've got some great in it or something. I have to pour the water bottle on my eye. Isaiah 60, verse number 1. This is a prophetic passage. In fact, I believe it's for today. He says, "Rise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee." Now here's talking about the glory of God coming on a people. And the glory of God is a supernatural substance. It's not just you walking around with a smile on your face trying to do some good deeds. It's the forces of heaven, the very atmosphere of heaven coming on you. I personally believe it's concentrated love that becomes tangible in the seen first heaven realm. You follow me?
Yeah.
It moves from the third heaven to the second. These dimensions, not outer space dimensions, and manifest in the first heaven where we live, and people start to see a bush burning and it's not consumed.
Amen.
Smoke coming off the top of the church. Jesus shined with the glory of God when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so I believe the glory is coming on the end time bride, the end time segment of the church that is pressing in, that is all in. Someone will say, well, Pastor Jack, that passage in Isaiah, that's for heaven.
Yes.
Is that by Isaiah? What is that? Good thing that Charles can edit. Take that out, Charles. Be the tissue now. It's a lot of dust. Breathe. Pastor Jack, don't you know that's for someday when we get to heaven? Well, then we have a problem with the context of the rest of the passage, because it says in verse 2, for darkness shall cover the earth. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness of people. But His glory shall arise and be seen upon thee. It says the glory is coming on God's people in the time there's gross darkness on the earth. In fact, glory is God's counter to gross darkness.
Amen.
God is the master counter puncher, counter mover. Whatever the devil does, God's always got a plan to offset it. You know, when the devil caused man to betray the Lord in the garden, he ate of the forbidden fruit. Satan thought he'd won.
Yeah.
You follow me? Sin came upon man. Curse came upon the world. He thought he'd won. God says, no, I've got a counterplan. I'm going to send my son.
Amen.
And everything the devil tries to do. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians, had the devil known, had he known what he was doing when he crucified the Lord of glory, he wouldn't have done it. He didn't know the can of worms he was opening upon himself.
Amen.
And so, God's counterpunch, His counterforce to gross darkness, is the glory. Now again, I've explained this many times, and I need to do it again. Darkness and gross darkness are two different things. Darkness is the absence of light.
Yes.
You follow me?
Yes.
If you ever go into Mammoth Cave and get way back into the Eternal for Lights,
yes,
it'd be dark.
Yeah.
And Patty had a little bit of a fit when it happened when she was a little girl. Amen. Went into a panic attack. Turned off the lights. That's the absence of light. But you can be in pitch blackness and light a match and see a lot.
Yes.
You follow me? That one photon of light, the smallest package of light that exists, is called a photon. And one photon of light could be seen by the human eye in darkness 100 yards away. A little bitty package. It's how bright light really is. And so, if you want to offset darkness, all you need is to bring some light on the scene.
Amen.
And that's what we do, isn't it? We carry light. We carry the word, the anointing, the wisdom of God. And we can bring revelation where people have been in ignorance. They were in darkness through ignorance, but by revelation we bring them out of the darkness into the light, right? But gross darkness is different. Gross darkness, that word there, is not the absence of light. It's talking about a cloud of darkness, a demonic sludge so thick that even when presented with the truth, people can't see it. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
Even when presented with facts, truth, spiritual, how can I say, revelation. Well, I don't believe all that. I can't see that. And we can see it right now in the world, in the earth. That people are supporting, feminists are supporting a nationality, a religion that hates women.
Yeah.
That's the result of gross darkness. The people think it's okay to kill babies in the womb. Gross darkness. In fact, that's one of the things that fuels gross darkness. Feeds the demonic powers that bring it. And so what gross darkness is a demonic sludge that when you tell somebody the truth, the devil's back there saying, that's not right. They have the ability to influence thoughts and emotion to blind people's minds to truth even when it's presented. And a little light, light itself will not penetrate gross darkness. Think about it this way. A house is on fire. is filled with smoke. And you pull out your flashlight, you're in the middle of the house, and you know, maybe you're not flames all around, but it's just thick smoke. You can pull out your flashlight, still don't see anything. The photons are just bouncing off the smoke particles right at you, and you can't see through it. That's gross darkness. And the only thing I believe that God's made available to penetrate gross darkness, it's not light. It's glory. Glory, the concentrated love of God.
Amen.
That the devil cannot resist. The glory, the Shekinah glory of God that is the atmosphere of heaven, that there's no devil in hell can hold back against it. Hold it back.
Right.
That's the glory. God said, I'm going to bring my glory on the end time bride in a time of church history when gross darkness is being poured out. And I believe it's right now. Now, there's been darkness, gross darkness all through time, but it's really being poured out right now.
Yes, it is.
Amen. And God says, I'm going to bring my glory on the end time church to counter this. Then he says it's going to have an effect. Look at verse number 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. God says, when you manifest the glory, it's going to draw on the harvest. Now, let me explain this just a minute. This is something the Lord showed me years ago. That the love of God is His harvest magnet.
Yes.
Now listen, when I was early in ministry, early as a Christian, I did a lot of street witnessing. I mean, I went downtown Lexington, wherever I went, I'm witnessing to people. I had tracts up carried, telling everybody. And occasionally I'd get somebody to listen. Usually I'd hand out 100 tracts and find 99 on the side of the road or in the trash cans. And people, I don't have time for that. I don't have to, I know all that. But one night, now this has been early 90s, I'd been teaching on supernatural love. And I mean extensively. And I went out to witness with a group of people in Triangle Park in Lexington. And the love of God came on me. I'd never had it happen before. I'm talking about a love that transcended human ability to produce it. I supernaturally loved everybody. Not just had an empathy. I loved them. And everybody I went to, that love penetrated the darkness in their lives, that gross darkness. Penetrated their resistance. And I witnessed it to everybody I witnessed to, other than extreme religious, wanted to hear. And in 45 minutes, I led 5 different people to Jesus. Never seen results like that. That's spending time with them. I mean, they're like, oh, I've never heard this before. Well, they probably had, but the darkness had them blinded to it. And God said, supernatural agape, supernatural love, is going to be my harvest magnet in the end times.
Amen.
And when he showed me that glory was concentrated love, which I believe he showed me,
He's
going to use the glory as a harvest magnet the world cannot resist. And it says, Gentiles shall come to the light, to the brightness of the rising. The world's coming in to receive of the glory once it comes upon us. Now, we don't wait for that to start witnessing.
No.
Or you'll never step into it. You witness it, then it will come on you. It didn't come on me until I stepped out to Triangle Park to witness. You got to take a step of faith to move into it. And then, now it's been 25 years ago. I'm trying to remember how long. I was ministering and the glory came on me. It's never happened like that before. It never happened like that before. It's never happened like that since. I have a taste of it. But it came with me for almost 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, I was in the glory. For 2 weeks, I couldn't get upset. I had such faith. Everybody I prayed for was getting healed. I believe it was just amazing. Leading people to Jesus. And after 2 weeks, it lifted. And I was devastated. God, what did I do to lose the glory? I know this sounds far-fetched to some people. I'm just telling you my testimony. I said, what did I do to lose the glory? And this came back to me. You didn't lose it. I gave you a taste of what's to come on the end time church.
Amen.
Now in 40 years of pursuing God, 42 now of pursuing God, I've had no telling how many dreams and visions, even visitations. When Jesus came to me or he brought me a revelation, and every single one, for the most part, dealt with the end time of the Word of God being poured out. Amen. It's coming on the church as God's end time harvest magnet. Look at verse 4. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all that gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters to be nursed at thy side. The glory's bringing in the harvest. And then we have to teach them. Then thou shalt see and flow together. There's covenant, the body of Christ coming together through the glory. Then you're going to see revelation coming because of that impartation of God on your life. And it says, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. Now listen, the abundance of the sea being converted unto thee. Sea represents the multitudes of people. And here we have a clue what God's going to do. What does abundance mean? The abundance?
Clap
your hands. Let me tell you what it really means here. The most. When you say the abundance of. Now abundance means a lot. You follow me? But the abundance of means the most. Did you follow me on that? If we use the phrase the abundance of, it means the most. For example, if I have, you know, there's $100 on the chair, and I grab a bunch, and I got the abundance of it, I got the most.
That makes sense.
If you follow what I'm trying to say here. And so when he says the abundance is he shall be converted unto thee, he's saying, God's saying, before this is done, there'll be more people in heaven than there are in hell.
Praise God.
I'm going to harvest the earth. I'll have more people in my kingdom than the devil has in his.
Yes.
Why? Because the glory cuts through the darkness, through the gross darkness,
yes,
and brings in the harvest. And by its time is done, God's going to say, I win.
Yes.
He's going to have the most.
Yes.
But what's interesting is, what's the verse we've been on Sunday mornings? Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's the vision we're to be running toward, it says. As the waters cover the sea, that's the anointed word covering the peoples. Here it says the abundance of the people are going to be converted. The seas. Then he goes on. Look at this. The abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. You cannot get around it. The word forces there in the Hebrew is the word wealth. And God's going to bankrupt the devil at the same time.
Amen.
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 There's a saying, the golden rule really is, he that has the gold makes the rules. And God's about to bankrupt the devil from being able to say anything.
Amen.
Amen. All, and then he goes through what's included in the wealth. God's glory is coming on the end time bride church. And talking about all in, I believe the Lord gave me three requirements to be part of the glorious church. Do you remember them?
Yeah.
Holiness. One is holiness.
Holiness.
You're not going to carry the glory and be running around out there sleeping around. You're not going to carry the glory having a problem with integrity. The lying, stealing, cheating. You're not going to carry the glory and you can't maintain covenant. You follow me? You're a gossip, you're a liar, you're a backbiter, you're full of envy and jealousy, not you, but people that have a problem with covenant. Well, nobody will tell, no pastor will tell me what to do. You're not going to carry the glory.
Amen.
You're too afraid of somebody controlling you rather than trusting God to protect you. Amen. And so, to walk in His glory, this is all still an introduction. Y'all bear with me. To carry this glory requires holiness.
Yep.
And you're made righteous when you're born again. Yep. Holiness is applying the word to walk out what God did to you internally.
Amen.
To walk it out externally. You follow me? God already made you in His image. Now live it. And of course, the primary, how can I say, epitome of reflection of holiness is to walk in love. To walk in agape, supernatural agape. Number two. Step number two, if you want to walk in the glory, what was that? Thankfulness. You're not going to carry the glory if you're a grumbler. Eeyore cannot carry the glory. Neither will the cowardly lion or the scarecrow, and probably not the tin man. You can't whine and fuss and cry and complain. You can't attribute everything to Murphy's Law and carry the glory. You learn to be thankful, not for everything, but in everything.
Amen.
When things go wrong, you don't think, oh, God, I'm so glad that it went wrong. No, no. I'm thankful to you, Lord God. You sustained me even when it went wrong.
Yeah.
And so we live a life of praise, worship, thankfulness. Of course, it inhabits our praises. And so that's part of walking into the glory. And step three is where we're going tonight. Step three is all in. The glory is not coming on a part-time church. Well, I go when I feel like it. I don't believe in that tithing stuff. I go to a lot of churches. You follow me? And you tell somebody what church you go to, and they say, well, I go to that church, never heard of you. It's amazing how many people have told me or others they go to my church, and I never heard of it. Amen. My memory's not in the place, you know, I don't remember who's been in my church for a while. All in means you're spirit led. You're endeavoring to do whatever God would have you do at any time, all the time. You're focused on the kingdom more than you are the natural. You want to live and please God in all that you do.
Amen.
In fact, it says about the people of glory in Habakkuk 2:4, the righteous, the just shall live by faith. You can live out of the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Now, will we do it perfectly? No. But you endeavor to do it better every day.
Yeah.
You're running after the vision of the glory. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You consider every day an opportunity to become more like Jesus. I think that's a good way to put it. So it's all in. It's always wanting to step more into looking like Jesus, acting like Jesus, living like Jesus, carrying the power Jesus did. And those aren't all in them have leveled out in that area. Really not focused on it or concerned about it. They're just trying to go through Christian motions. And so all in means you're sold out. Whatever God would have you do. Trying to think about that song we used to sing, I Surrender All. Do we now? I surrender all, except my bank account. I surrender all, except my time when there's a good ball game on. All to thee, my precious Savior. I surrender, except that I've forgiven something caring for years. You follow what I'm getting at? We sing one thing, but we act in another way. Not us, but people do. And all is God, whatever you tell me to change, I'll change. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. Whatever you tell me to sow, I'll sow. And you're excited about the opportunity. Amen. God said, I'm bringing you on a church walking in that. Now go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Is everybody with me so far?
Amen.
Let's Let's pick it up where we were again. I want to start reading this again. Well, look at verse 15 again. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself all in to them. Holy means entirely all in. That thy property may appear to all. Now, have you met people that you turned out they were Christians, but you could have never told them?
Yeah.
They'd have told you because you couldn't guess it from their actions or language or whatever, you know, their lifestyle. But God says there's something you can do that will let everybody know you're a Christian. Did you follow me? Now, I believe it's more than just because they see a smile on your face. Or you speak, well, I'm blessed. Amen. It's the anointing on your life. The love of God, supernatural love of God in your life. What we're going to read are some things that are all in activities that produce a result in our life. And I believe when he's saying your profiting will appear to all, he's talking about if you do these things, God's going to bless you, anoint you, and promote you. Amen. And people will know, surely, he is walking with God. The Bible tells about Enoch, the first person ever raptured. He walked with God. And God, he pleased God because of it, and God took him, right? First man on earth never to die. Instead, he was raptured. He becomes an example of the end time church God's going to rapture. Not a part-time church, not a half-hearted, lukewarm church, but a church that is all in is what he's coming for. A church that is walking with him.
Amen.
I know when I was first saved, I was trying to walk in the giftings and the anointings and manifest blessings by faith. And I think we often all do that. But the longer I've served God, the more I just want to know him. I know if I walk in knowing him and be led to the Spirit and walk hand in hand with him, he'll lead me in everything else. By faith, we're working with principles, and he will lead me and guide me. I've come to the place even, anybody ever here forget anything?
Sure.
Forget to do something you were going to do?
Yes.
I so believe in God to remind me what I need to do if I forget something. I've come to the place, I don't think I was supposed to do it, at least at that time. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, you went to get one thing, you forgot it, and you got distracted and forgot that, and you sat back and had to get it five times. I'm talking about something of importance. It could be that it's not time. As I confess all the time, he brings all things to my remembrance. I hope I'm not getting on too much of a sidetrack, even in here working. I'm talking to God all the day. And if I notice a tool, normally I wouldn't need it, but I notice it. It's like I notice it. I know I need to grab it. Because I'm going to get up that scaffolding, get inside and realize I needed that tool because it was highlighted to me. I hear God say, get that tool, but it was just highlighted. There it was. Why am I going to notice? I got tools everywhere. This one, I'm just noticing it. You better grab it. God's leading us in shortcuts. And of course, you may not know, but one of my nicknames is Shortcut Shoot. That's because I hear God so accurately shows me the ways to do things. That's my story. I'm sticking with it. Anyway, all in, walking holy with God produces results. He says, your profiting may appear to all. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, they're already saved. They're going to walk in the fullness of the salvation. Saving of the soul, right? Walk in the blessing. But I want to back up to verse 13 again and see what it is. He says in verse 15, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them. What things? See, he's going to give us an all-in list. What is included in all-in? And I'm one of those that believe if God gives us a list through Paul, we probably ought to find out what it is. Amen. We read the verse starting out tonight, in the introduction. Take heed lest we let anything slip. So, start at verse 13 again. Till I come, give attendance to reading. Reading what?
The Word.
Scriptures. Reading the Scriptures. Paul, when he's about to be beheaded, he's about to be executed, and he knows it. He says, my time's at hand. He's locked up, and he says, come and visit me. When you come, bring my coat, because winter's coming, and bring the scrolls. Even unto his death, Paul's wanting to read the Word. How much more should we be involved in reading the Word? Even reading about the Word. Now, we have options they didn't have. We can watch videos. We can listen to recorded messages. We can be bringing in the Word from every direction. They had no access to do that years ago. We do now. Amen. So we can put in here, meditate on this, and give yourself wholly to be all in reading. Another word for reading would be spiritual intake. Did you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual intake. Feeding yourself. Spiritual food. We had somebody lecturing us earlier tonight about healthy eating. And there's nothing healthier you can eat spiritually than the Word.
Sure.
In fact, everything else you study that's not tied to Scriptures is somewhat junk food for your soul. I'm sure everybody enjoyed that one. And you know why you told me to give up Tennessee football, right? It says, reading, if I'm right again, to exhortation, building other people up. And he's a pastor. Part of my job is to cheerlead. 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits. Get your back in church. Exhorting people to pursue on. My number one way I exhort right now is the sign in the back. We win. That's exhortation. Every time I tell you we win, it's exhorting you, maintain a victorious mindset.
Yes.
We're not losers. We're not failures. We're not letting God down. We're pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We win every single time.
Yes.
And if we haven't won yet, the game's not over until we do.
That's right.
We keep swinging until we hit the grand slam home run, right? Exhortation. Not just exhorting one another, but receive exhortation. If you have to, talks about in Scripture, if nobody else is building you up, build up yourself. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord.
Yes.
Build up yourself. I don't know about you. I know about me. I'm always exhorting myself. I win. I talked to myself all day. I win. I always win. Nope, devil, that's not my thought. That's not a winner thought. I always win.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes.
And you cast down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the we win mentality, against the Word of God. We try to take you into the world's way of thinking. Exhortation to doctrine. To doctrine. What does it mean? Give yourself. Now understand, each of these you're to meditate on and give yourself all into, wholly to. To doctrine. What's he talking about? Understand, in Timothy's day, Paul's day, polytheism was everywhere. They're ministering to the Gentile world. They're ministering to Ephesus. Tim was pastor of the church of Ephesus. where they're, everything's a god. They worship everything. There's Roman gods, there's Greek gods, there's, you know, Egyptian gods. Everybody's got their own set of gods. And for many people, Jesus was just another one of those gods. And doctrine was always being attacked, even when they're in their own ranks. They didn't have a New Testament yet. So all kinds of doctrines were being thrown out there. And Paul, much of his writing, defended the true gospel. He told the Galatian church, who's bewitched you? What's this doctrine of legalism you fall and pray for? That you have to be circumcised, follow the Judaic law. That's not of God. He's defending the doctrine. And read what he wrote. When you read the New Testament, you're reading the doctrine they had to defend before there was a New Testament Bible. Amen. And if you read the letters, it was common for them to say, and in fact in Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus said, take this letter, let the others read it as well. Let the other churches read it as well. Why? They were defending the doctrine of these epistles. And he's telling Timothy, don't get suckered in for believing some of these ridiculous things that are floating around. Don't you fall prey for hyper grace. You follow me? You know, external holiness, wearing your hair a certain way and skirt length a certain, don't fall for all that. In fact, I've got my list together. I don't know when I'll start teaching it. It could be next Tuesday, I don't know. I'm torn between whether to do it Sunday morning or Tuesdays. But I've got my list of 20 different Christian false doctrines. Not false doctrine. Church mentalities are being pastored out there. They're all of God. You want to know what I'm talking about? One's the legalistic church. No makeup, hair a certain length. Well, pull in a bun so tight you can't blink. I call it bundage. Skirts have to sweep the floor. Can't have an instrument. Oh, you can have, but no drums. You can have a ukulele or something.
I've been to a church like that.
I've been to several like that.
I went to a church like that. They didn't have, the first thing the pastor said is, he didn't ask me if I was saved or anything. He just said, we don't have instruments here. And I was like, whatever. I don't care what you do. And man, that place, when they started singing, I thought I was in heaven. It was beautiful.
Well, fantastic.
I mean, they were screaming and singing. It was actually, I don't know why I didn't go back no more, but it was.
Praise God, it sounded great. But too often when you get into legalism, you frustrate the grace of God.
Right.
And the Spirit of God.
I don't understand why it was like that. Really.
Yeah.
But it went in back. It didn't hurt.
I ministered to some woman one time trying to get her to watch a certain special on TV. And she said, our church doesn't have TVs. Or aren't you holy? How do you watch the cat videos if you don't have a TV?
And spend time with God.
Anyway. TVs are good or bad depending how you use them, right?
That's right.
And so there's a legalistic church. There's the hyper grace church. There's the hellfire damnation church. Every time you go, we belonged to one for a while. Every church, every message was, you better run to the altars right now and get saved again because you might have had a bad thought this week. And I've been right back to the altar again. And so I've got a list of 20 of these kind of churches we're going to look at. And if you scare somebody in the kingdom, you got to keep them by fear.
That's right.
The Bible says it's the goodness of God to lead men to repentance.
Amen.
Anyway, people need to be introduced to the love of God, not the wrath of God.
Yeah.
Get them saved. At least once they get in, teach them about love, right? You scare them in, but make sure you teach them love when they get there. To doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Neglect not the gift of God. He's saying meditate on it. Give yourself wholly into it, all into it. And part of it, he says, don't forget the prophecy spoken over you. Has anybody beside you ever had a prophecy spoken over them?
Yes.
That you knew was God? Mm-hmm. I've had several. Hands laid on me. Mm-hmm. A word spoken. In this case, one theory is what Paul's talking about here, and I'm in agreement with this. He's not talking about somebody laid hands on you and gave you the word. It's where they laid hands on him and ordained him in a ministry as a pastor. See, don't forget, you've been sworn into this position. You've been given a word of prophecy about what God wants to do with you as a pastor and within your church. Meditate on it. Give yourself wholly to it. See, there's a philosophy I have, and I know it's accurate. If you're going to pastor in the end times in a church on fire, you're going to have a real church instead of a pretend church, you better know you're called. Because every devil in hell is going to try to stop you.
That's right.
You better know that you know God called you. Otherwise, you won't be meditating on the calling. You'll be meditating on other options. That's what Paul's talking to Timothy about. Remember what's been spoken over you. Remember the calling. God's ordained you to this. Because see, Timothy wanted to quit.
Wow.
His church was under major persecution. At one time, his church was believed to have had about 20,000 members. Wow. And by the time it was done, it was down to about 200. That's quite a reduction. And that'll make you want to quit. Don't ask me how I know. 1, 2, 3. But you better know you've been called to it. Doesn't matter who shows up. Doesn't matter, you know, whether you have a building or not, whether you have a worship team or not. Did God call you?
That's right. Amen.
If he did, give yourself wholly to it. Meditate about it. Yes, God, you called me to this. Are you getting anything out of this? We're about to close this out. So verse 15 again, meditate upon these things and give yourself wholly to them. Entirely. Now we know some of the things we can invest our lives in that'll produce. And he said, if you do these things, look at it again, look at it. To reading, exhortation, doctrine, and don't ignore the gift in them. He said, if you'll do this, you're going to profit out of it. I'm not talking about financial profit, although that may be part of it. You're going to profit spiritually. And people are going to see Jesus on your life. Amen? In your position, because it's holy all day, and you're positioning yourself for the glory. Thank you, Jesus, for the glory. So, Father, right now in this church, I declare there are none sick. We decree it. Sickness has to leave. Every member of this church.
Yes.
Robert's made whole right now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
There are no life-threatening situations. We win every time. There's no pain. We reject pain in Jesus' name. It doesn't belong to us. You said you took our pains.
Yes.
If you took it, I don't want it. I thank you there's no lack of anointing, of love, of finance, or whatever resources we need. There's no lack in the kingdom. We live out of the kingdom. There's no oppression, no fear, anxiety, suicide, discouragement or depression. The joy of the Lord remains our strength. We walk in joy and peace. And there's no strife. This is a church full of love and unity. There's no division. There's no source of division. No backbiting, envy, jealousy, or gossip. We reject those things. We walk as one as the body of Christ. Thank you for divine appointments and encounters all week. I think we win. In Jesus' name, amen.